Welcome to the BIV podcast. I'm Haley Wooden Hastings, editor-in-chief of BIV, and this episode of our podcast is sponsored by Naturally Wood. According to Woodworks, Canada is home to 10% of the world's forests. Now, most of them are protected, that's a good thing, but a percentage are available as well for production, for export, and for use at home in industries such as construction. And what we can do with that timber is evolving. Mass timber buildings, for example, are getting taller. They're growing in number. One of the tallest mass timber buildings in the world actually houses students over at UBC. But increasingly, when we consider and talk about Canada's forests, we're unfortunately also forced to talk about fires and the devastating social, environmental, and economic impact of wildfires. So what about the buildings that come from forests? And as we use more timber in our urban and suburban landscapes, how can we better consider fire safety and prevention? My guest today has some answers for us. Sean Keyes is the executive director of Woodworks BC. Sean, thanks so much for coming on the program and for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Haley. Excited to be here.
Let's start with some context for folks who aren't as intimately familiar with this area as you may be. Some materials obviously are more combustible than others, and I assume a developer or builder in Canada can't simply choose any untested material and put it in a building. So in general terms, can you give us a bit of an overview of how building materials are regulated and how fire safety and prevention are considered before a building even gets built?
Absolutely. Fire safety is considered within various different aspects of our building codes. So we have different types of construction methodologies within the building code. There's also fire codes that regulate what is possible in various different occupancies, various different types of construction. And that essentially governs how and what we can build.
And so as building materials and designs and tastes evolve, how does industry, how does government get the data they might need to understand the fire implications, safety implications of various materials before it formally goes into a code and is allowed to be used broadly?
Absolutely. There's a lot of groups that do research on new materials, and this is where mass timber comes in as a relatively new form of construction, taking increase in popularity since the first supplier brought on board in 2009 in BC. So relatively new. There's a lot of testing that has gone on in both mass timber as well as any type of product that goes into our building. So research and development, years and years in the making for these types of things. And really what has separated mass timber from more traditional combustible construction methodologies is where we've done a lot of research as an organization and many others as well, internationally and across North America, to understand the differences between more traditional forms of construction, combustible construction, and then mass timber. And the fire test that was done in Ottawa last year is a really good example of how they perform differently and how we can update our building codes over time with this science and evidence.
Yeah, so on that point, tell me a bit more about the mass timber demonstration fire test program, what it involves. It sounds like it's quite significant in scope.
Absolutely. It was a very large-scale burn that was done in Ottawa, Ontario, last summer. It was a two-story, fully completed structure. There was five different tests that were undertaken with various different occupancy types, so residential or commercial, trying to establish different types of burns that were related to either course of construction fire, so something that could happen on a construction site, or a fire that could happen once the building is occupied, and really show the industry, based on this large-scale burn, how the material behaves and how that is different than more traditional wood frame construction that we think of as, you know, either I-joists or 2x6 and 2x4, how we construct our homes, and how mass timber is a little bit different, and showcase to many different industries why we've separated that from traditional combustible construction within building codes. Encapsulated mass timber is essentially a new portion of the code, whereas combustible construction has evolved over time. So it is no longer the only category that wood construction can fall underneath.
Interesting. And before we get to some of the results and insights, I'm so curious about the test. Can you, for people who have never seen one or don't know much about it, who's there? How does it work? Are you quite literally setting a building on fire and watching to see what happens? Can you give us a bit of a sense of what you're seeing when a test like this takes place?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I myself wasn't able to be there. It was before I joined the organization, but there's lots of really great videos and photos online that you can find via the Canadian Wood Council and Natural Resource Council as well. Really, this is a, think about a two-story building, maybe a commercial office, let's think, rough scale and size, people, 50 meters back. We lit this building on fire for essentially the entire course of the day for these five different burns. And then after, the building was actually left completely standing. We were able to go in there afterwards. So the structure remained intact after going through five different severe fire scenarios throughout the course of an entire day. And that was all without fire intervention. So there wasn't sprinklers or firefighters that were actively putting out the fires. There was some small interventions in between once the fire had all died down. But the visuals are really quite striking. And I've heard from folks who were able to be there that, you could really even feel the heat if you were quite close. So it was quite a display, and seeing the building still standing there after was very impressive.
No kidding. And now, going through a fire test of this kind, is that required, or is it something that's done simply to further research and then put that forward to, say, policymakers and regulators for their consideration?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of other research that's been done throughout many different organizations leading up to this, but really this was essentially done more as a showcase, so you can actually see and understand the visuals of how these buildings will behave and how that's a bit different. So this was aimed primarily to help education, showing, understanding that visuals for folks in the fire service industries, as well as insurers and underwriters who are less familiar with new ways of construction, as well as education for building and municipal officials who aren't familiar with mass timber and how it differentiates from more traditional light wood frame construction. So it was a bit done as a showcase, but there's also a lot of evidence that the team has pulled from this that will be used for future advancements in building codes and can be used to help justify where we head in the future.
Well, and aside from the building still being standing after five significant burns, what were some of those pieces of evidence or the greatest insights that the team was able to extract and is considering moving forward?
Really, the biggest piece of insight that we are able to get as a group from this is that the building was able to largely self-extinguish. So no firefighter intervention, no sprinklers. This was a very large burn, and it went out quite quickly on its own due to the fire behavior of mass timber. Since these are solid wood structures, glued, nailed, kind of screwed together, there's a char layer that gets built up on the underside, which insulates the structural portion of the wood beneath and allows that fire to die out over time. So seeing that at this scale, the building being fully standing afterwards was really impressive and without any intervention. So that was the most kind of significant finding, especially for people who are looking to understand this new construction methodology, within the development and construction industries.
And of course, were there a fire in such a building in the real world outside of a test, we would hope that there would be lots of intervention, right? But
absolutely.
What should be the takeaways? What should be the takeaways for fire code professionals, responders, municipalities? What should they care about when it comes to the results of this controlled burn that you've gone through?
Yeah, so this was a very rare scenario that was tested. You know, it's highly unlikely that a building, all these buildings would require sprinklers, firefighters would be there, you know, within a short time period. So very unlikely that this type of scenario would actually occur. But to me, some of the biggest takeaways are that, you know, as we look to evolve this new form of construction and understand that it is different, we're talking a little bit of a divergence from combustible construction versus mass timber construction. And it can be used by insurance industry to understand these buildings better, to understand that they can be more fire resistant. You know, we don't have a large body of work, you know, I think roughly 800 and something projects across Canada that have been built out of mass timber. But when you consider the large scope of construction, that's still a small number. So they don't have as many data points. And this is as close as we can get to a real data point for these buildings, and use this as educational material for folks who are interested in building more sustainably. They can use this as a resource to communicate and educate those who are not familiar, either from a municipal level for approvals or for an insurance broker looking to work with an underwriter, and help communicate and educate about the differences.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I mentioned one of them at UBC. We already do have tall timber towers built and planned in BC and, of course, across the country. What do these tests, or the result of these tests that you've done, mean for the future of mass timber construction? Can we expect taller buildings or more buildings in Canada?
Yeah, so the building code will continue to evolve. The British Columbia Building Code recently announced that they would be trying to adopt provisions that would allow up to 18-story buildings within the full completed version of the building code. The project you spoke about went through an alternative solution process, which just requires more engineering, more communication with the authority having jurisdiction. So this is further evidence for that. And that move that the provincial building code will be undertaking is actually in line with where the international building code in the US is already at. So you're going to continue to see building codes expand, you know, from 18 stories up to 24, slowly over time, of course. You know, we want to make sure that all the testing is in place. And this is a very good data point, as one of the largest burns that's really happened. Most other burns are smaller scale within laboratories. So this is a good data point to continue that process. That, of course, takes time, many, many years before these types of things come into our building codes. But this is an excellent data point, and I'd encourage anyone who's interested to go to the fire test website and check out all the information that's contained within the NRC report.
That's great. And of course, fire prevention safety is critically important. But going beyond that for a moment, why should industry really care about advancing mass timber education? Why should we care about using mass timber as a building material in more buildings in our urban or suburban landscapes?
Absolutely. I think it really comes down to sort of two challenges that we're facing. You know, across Canada, we face a housing crisis that is very pronounced, especially in the city of Vancouver. We need to build more. We need to build more housing. We need to build it quickly. This offers a way to do that. It's a prefabricated form of construction. We can build these buildings quite quickly. The other challenge that we're faced is the sustainability and climate crisis. And wood offers a form of construction that is lower in the carbon that goes into production of wood products compared to other materials, as well as it has the ability to store carbon within it. So the reason why mass timber is so important when we think about these two challenges that we face is that with the housing, it's important to build density into our cities, build tall. You know, we're very constrained, especially in Vancouver, with how far we can extend out. We have mountains on one side, we have the ocean and a border. We're pushing as far as we can from an urban development. So it's important to build density into our cities. And when I say density, I just mean, you know, taller buildings. And wood and mass timber specifically allows us to do that. traditional in for wood construction, we can only go up to 6 floors because of combustible construction. There's challenges there with certain things, and mass timber allows us to push that envelope and build taller buildings out of wood. You know, right now, we've seen up to 18 stories in BC, so this allows us to do that. And continuing to research and educate these types of buildings really allows us to create a more sustainable way of building kind of dense housing.
Looking forward to the future, Sean, I don't know if there are more fire tests planned. It certainly can't be practical to have a test of that scope every other weekend, right? But could you tell us a bit about what might be coming next? How are you going to use the data that you have and what we might be able to expect from your team or others that are looking at this issue?
Yeah, so this test wouldn't have been possible without funding from various different groups, government, industry, lots of different groups. Lots of these products were even kind of supplied pro bono from the suppliers. There was a lot of collaboration, a lot of effort that went into create such a large scale project. And, you know, there's groups out there who will continue to do more and more research. Our group isn't necessarily directly involved with that, but more broadly as part of the Canadian Wood Council, they're always working at research. FP Innovations is another group that is always doing research, as well as all across across the country. He'll continue to do more research projects like this, likely not necessarily at the same scale all the time, but our group is a little bit less focused on research. We're trying to now get this information out into people's hands so they understand the implications and what they can expect, how they can expect building codes to evolve, educate design, construction practitioners as to what's possible kind of at the moment. But I think, you know, over time, you're going to see continued evolvement, but probably nothing at this scale in the very near future that I'm aware of, at least.
And as a final plug, where can folks go if they want to see either some of those videos or learn a bit more online and further their own understanding of mass timber?
Yeah, so they can go to the Canadian Wood Council website or the National Resources Council. There is a website there, cwc.firetest.ca. I could just do a quick little Google search and there'll be a custom web page with all the results from the fire test. Additionally, you know, our team at Woodworks is always here as a resource for people who are looking to educate and inform either themselves or people that they're looking to design and build with. And they can find our team at wood-works.ca. And we're always willing to engage and be a resource to help educate folks who are less familiar with this way of construction.
Fantastic. Well, Sean, thanks so much for coming on the show to talk about the importance of mass timber and also offering a little bit of peace of mind, perhaps, for folks who hear timber and think one thing, but really our evolution and the safety around this product is quite significant. So thank you for those insights.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Haley. It was a pleasure.
My guest today was Sean Keyes, Executive Director of Woodworks BC, and this episode of our BIV podcast was sponsored by Naturally Wood. And if you're looking for more information on the themes we've discussed today, you can head on over to naturallywood.com for those insights. I'm Haley Wooden-Hastings, Editor-in-Chief of BIV. Thanks so much for listening to our show. You can find this episode and our archive of episodes over at biv.com/audio or biv.com/video, as well as on YouTube and other places where you normally listen to podcasts. Thanks again for joining us. Until next time.